Okay. Good evening, everyone. Once again, we have the opportunity to be together in this way and meditate briefly on the Word of God and to pray. And the plan is to do it tonight yet and then also next Wednesday, and that will be the last of these Wednesday night meditations. For tonight, let me read with you from Hebrews 13, verse 14. Hebrews 13, verse 14, words that are very familiar. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Let's pray for God's help. Lord, once more we meet in this way to hear from you, to be reminded of your truth, to reflect together on the majesty of the Word of God. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray that we may be a people, Lord, who not just know this text, but who also reflect this text in our life. And that you will use the time this evening also to root that very deeply in all of our lives. We pray that in all things you may be lifted up and glorified. Hear us and help us through Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Well, that's the confession of the apostle as he's writing to these Hebrew Christians. It's the apostle's confession, and can we not say that he is encouraging also every believer in this confession as well, to live like this, to seek the city to come. Now, in the context, of course, we're all familiar enough with the letter to the Hebrews. The apostle was challenging the Christians to be true to Christ and not to retreat or to return to the old ways of Judaism. We can say, in view of our text, not to return to the doomed city of Jerusalem and all that it represented, including also the ceremonies and sacrifices of the law. Don't cling to that old world anymore, the apostle was saying. Don't live for that dying city. It's a done city. It's finished. And that's true. Within a few short years, in 70 AD, the literal city was indeed destroyed. And more significantly, the Lord Jesus had fulfilled in his person and work all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. They found their culmination in him. They found their true meaning in him. And he was and is building a new city, as it were, for all his people, a new life, a new community, a new reality in and through him. And so the apostle rightly says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. And so let us ask ourselves tonight, is this something we too think about? Is this something that marks us? Because it is not just about Christian Jews having to abandon the old Jerusalem and instead focus on the new and the future and the coming city. It was about that in the first place, but it's not just about that today. No, for all of us it is true. Here in this world, and the apostle helps us even with his language, we have no continuing city. Not one. And so let us seek the one that's coming. And so the question is, are we doing that? Are you and am I and we as a people seeking the city to come? Well, maybe someone says, why would we do that? Why would we seek a city to come? Well, wasn't one reason we might say is what the apostle writes in the first part of the text, namely that here we have no continuing city. Here in this world, in this life, we can find no lasting home. No city is lasting. And again, think old city Jerusalem, but think beyond that as well. Everything of this earth, of this world, is temporary, is passing. And we ourselves included, we know this very well, at least in theory. We all understand that we have to die. The Bible teaches this over and over again. Let me give you a couple of examples. Psalm 39, David reflecting on the frailty of his life and how fleeting life is. And he says at one point to the Lord, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Another example, think of the words of James in James 4, verse 14, when he says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We are so briefly in this world. Our time here is so short. Even if from a human point of view we get many years, 80, 90, or even 100 years to live, in one sense you might say that's a long time, but it's really not. In another psalm, Psalm 144, David says, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." And so it is something that is taught throughout the Bible, and a point to be so clear about, so that it affects us. So that it affects our thinking and the way we live and what we live for. Here we have no continuing city. Nothing lasts here, ourselves included. And so that is one reason to be seeking the city to come. But there is another reason to seek the city to come. Not simply because here we have no continuing city. That's true. But at the same time, there is a city that's coming. There is really a lasting and enduring city that is on its way, and a more wonderful city, and a most glorious city. There really is a city to come. And again, doesn't the Bible teach this too? And very plainly so. Maybe the best passage we can refer to at this point is Revelation 21, verse 2, where the Apostle John writes about seeing the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And then he goes on in that chapter, Revelation 21, John describes that city, the great size of that city, the manifold beauty of that city, the wonders of that city, the citizens of that city, and the God of that city. And it's a chapter full of imagery, of course, but it is imagery that is meant to help us understand something of what God has in store for His people when He gathers them into the world and life to come, when He brings His church into the new heaven and new earth. And there is this spectacular future that He is preparing, really a realm and a life that is marked by righteousness and is absent any sickness, any suffering, any sorrow, a world where there is no more pain, no more curse, where every tear is wiped away, a world that is marked by a community altogether without hindrance, without limitation, without restriction, and existing in perfect peace and harmony and love, and with so much to do and explore and take in and enjoy, and all in praise to the builder and maker of this city, who is also the light and glory of this city, the living God, through Jesus Christ. And it is this future then that is in view when our text in Hebrews is talking about the city to come. It is this future in God's glorified world. It is this great prospect that's in view. And so this too is why to seek the city to come. On the one hand, there is no lasting city to be found here. No life that endures. We cannot build solely for the here and now. There is nothing that we can invest in this life that satisfies apart from the living God and His people and His church and His glory. And how important it is to be clear about this. Because as much as each day matters and using our gifts and talents matters and making things better for people matters, and even enjoying the blessings God gives, all of that matters. As much as that is so, what's all important is to recognize that we're here briefly. And comparatively speaking, very briefly, for but a sliver of time. And we need to know that and to reflect that we know that in the way that we do not pour everything we are into this only and be consumed with this world only. It's so easy to do that. It's so natural. Really, it's the way of our sinful flesh apart from God, to live only for the here and to fixate on the now And to be so into that, we have time and energy for nothing else. And we can be like we read in Psalm 49, verse 11, people whose inner thought is that our houses will last forever. Yes, somehow they thought, and we can all think this way. We can all fall into this. Other people will die, not me, not us, at least not now, not for a long time. And so we keep pouring ourselves into the cities of this world as if they will never end. But that's foolish, because the word of God is so plain and clear. Here we have no continuing city. Meanwhile, there is one to come, and a great one. And if we seek it, we will find it. If we enter, we will enter it. If we are like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of old, pilgrims and strangers in this world. They had merely tents to dwell in a land that they could never claim as their own, though it was promised to them. But they lived in anticipation of the world to come. They were living what Paul would later write in his letter to the Philippians. They were living as those whose citizenship was in heaven. And they had learned to set their hearts there and to wait for that. And if we learn the same, and as we learn the same, we too will enter that great city. We'll get there. We'll pass through its gates and we'll enjoy its glory, the city to come. So that's why we should seek it. But what does it mean exactly to seek it? In terms of the letter to the Hebrews, can we say this? To seek the city to come means fundamentally to be thoroughly and constantly looking to Christ alone. Really, that's when we start to seek the city to come, when we learn in our life to turn from all our sin and to begin trusting in Jesus, and with all our heart and all our days, thoroughly and constantly confiding in Jesus Christ, looking to Him for mercy and grace, confessing our sins to Him and resting in His finished work. He is the key, and He is our ticket in. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father and into the presence of the Father through Christ. And so seeking the city to come happens through true faith in Him. And you know, every time the gospel is preached, we're called to that. Every time the word is brought, He is at work. He is reaching out. He is summoning us to Himself. If you have never yet humbled yourself before Him and begun to walk after Him, do it tonight. Turn away from all the crumbling cities of this world and seek for citizenship in that city which is to come. Ask Jesus to hear you and to save you. How important that is, how essential to entering that everlasting city. And believing in Jesus is not just for a moment, it's to be lifelong. For true faith means always to look to Him. Every day to follow Him. So we don't only start by grace, but we keep on by grace, and we keep on in faith. And that means, too, that we live for Him. So we live through Him, but we live for Him, too, no matter what it costs us. That was the apostles' and doing good and sharing and more besides. And really, he is describing how we offer our whole life up to Him in obedience and praise to Him. And that is the way of life for those who are seeking the city to come. Really, to seek the city to come means to seek the Lord of that city and to find our life with Him, to be hidden with Him, as Paul says elsewhere, our life hidden with Christ in God and so close to Christ and giving ourselves to His honor and praise. It means that we long for Him, to see Him, and to be with Him. As you listen to this tonight, can you say that you too are seeking the city to come? Have you come to learn that here we have no continuing city, but there is a city that's on its way, a great city, a grand city, an everlasting city. And through Jesus and through trusting in Him, He's our way into that city. And so we seek Him above all. How important it is that we do so. Because think yet, if we're not seeking him. If we're not seeking the city to come, if that's true, what have we got then? Where are we headed then? Isn't the text plain? Here we have no continuing city. And what is worse, if we are living as if we do, the end of that road is destruction. The cities of this world are not forever. They are not lasting. In fact, they are destined to be destroyed. Think of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah when God rained down fire from heaven. That's this old sinful world. It's to be cleansed. It's to be purified. It's to be refined. It's to be renewed. That's the future for all the cities of man. They're going down so that the city of God can take its place. The cities of man are going down, and so will all those whose hearts are set in those cities. All whose hearts are set in this world. Oh, how urgently the gospel calls us. How urgently it presses in. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the city to come while you may still enter into its citizenship roles. Seek that life and blessing that's forever. Think too, in this regard, how much we have learned this past year and a half. How we have learned also how uncertain everything is all around us. How unstable. How empty. Hasn't it been impressed on us through the circumstances of this past year that the cities of this world, they cannot continue. We have experienced so many things, to be sure. Anxiety, confusion, frustration, fear, anger. It's not been easy. But haven't we learned also this? That this world is a broken world. That this world is a world, yes, to be redeemed, to be restored. But through that process also, everything that is of this old world to be lost, to be destroyed. We can't miss it. It's so obvious. Here we have no continuing city. That's true. We ought to be sure of that more than ever. And at the same time, to seek the one to come. But maybe someone listening has more questions. Will it really come? Will the city really come? How do we know that it will? And when will it come? What do we say to those questions? Will the city truly come? Well, all we can go on, of course, is the Word of God. No one has been to the city and come back to report. It's not like we can get some tourist pictures or a travel tape or something like that. No, all we've got is the Word of God. But that's more than enough, isn't it? Because it is the sure Word of God. It is the Word of God that has been sealed by the blood of the Son of God. Back in Hebrews 11, verse 16, we read that God has prepared a city for his people. God is a city planner like no one else, and a city builder like no one else. And I mentioned it already from Revelation 21. John, in vision to the Spirit, saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city. He saw it coming down out of heaven. Maybe that's the closest thing we get to a travel tape or an advertisement of sorts. Although it's visionary language, John speaks in imagery. Still the point of the vision is to confirm the truth of the Word of God and to assure us it exists. It will come. All who seek it will find it because it will descend. The Savior himself has secured it through his own sacrifice. And even now he is building it. I go, he said, to prepare a place for you. And he will finish those mansions in glory, and he will bring them down. He will bring them with him. But when will that take place? When will the city to come finally come? Well, to that question, we have to say, who knows? Or maybe better, we can say, God knows. God alone. But having said that, can we also say that every day is a day closer? Every day, that city is nearer than it has ever been. Like Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 13, now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Every night when you go to bed, you can say, it's one day closer. Every morning when you wake up, it's one night nearer. We are not seeking in vain, and we will not seek forever. It is coming, and it is on its way. How many have already entered it in a way through death? They have gone to God. They have gone to Christ. And that may be the way it goes for us too. But someday, Jesus will return. Someday, the New Jerusalem will descend. Someday, it will be altogether finished, and it will come down out of heaven from God. And so let us seek it today. Let us be clear in our heads and clear in our hearts. We are not a people living ultimately for the cities of this world. Indeed, let us be more deliberate in our thinking and in our living than ever before. So that as much as we have work to do here, and as much as we invest along the way, our ultimate identity is pilgrim, stranger, foreigner, sojourner. Yes, we're looking forward. We're fixing our eyes on what is to come. We're setting our minds and hearts on things above and seeking that city that's on its way. That's how to live in this world and to live well. And we've long known it. But let these days in which we have been set by the providence of God help to make it all the clearer for us. Yes, also for our children and our young people, living in an age of plenty, in an age of many distractions. Let what we have gone through this past year, by God's blessing, be a means also through which you learn to look up, to look above, to look beyond to the city that's to come, and to be committed to seeking that city. Here, we have no continuing city. We seek the one to come. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we draw near to you tonight. And we give thanks for your word and for the clarity of your word and for the glory of your word. And we pray, Lord, that we may embrace also what we have listened to this evening so that we too may say, here we have no continuing city. Here we recognize how short our life is and how we cannot be invested in the here and now in a way that we neglect eternity. Eternity is coming. Eternity is long. And for all your people, eternity will be so good. We seek the city to come. Oh, we thank you, Lord God, that there is such a city, that there is such a life ahead, such a community, such an experience to be anticipated, to be part of your people, innumerable, enjoying all the wonders of a renewed world, heaven and earth, in harmony, in love, in peace, in joy, with blessing all around, and no sin and no sorrow and no suffering ever. Lord, even to think in these ways, we confess, stretches our ability to understand or imagine, but we cannot deny the clarity and truth of your word. So we pray that you would bless us all, that we may seek not just the city, but the Lord of the city, that we may seek you, Jesus Christ, as the way into that city. You have come also to redeem us from the city of destruction, where we belong as sinners, where we have chosen to make our home by nature. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we who listen tonight may all be free from that city and may be marching to the city of Zion, to the city of God, like the patriarchs of old, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, content to be pilgrims, content to be strangers and foreigners, content to look for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Lord Jesus, we cannot do without you. We need your saving work in our life, and we need also the power of your Holy Spirit to transform our minds and hearts so that we seek the things which are above, so that even as we raise our families and study our lessons and do our work and participate in this world as we ought, as members of communities all around, we nevertheless do so with a different spirit, with full dependence upon you and with a desire also to serve you in all things. Lord, will you help us in this? We stumble many times. We find lots of weakness in ourselves. We can be so easily distracted. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches are an ever-present temptation. We pray that we may continually resist them and keep our eyes upon you. Keep our eyes upon what's ahead. And reflect in our whole life such a conscientious, such a deliberate way of living and serving you that it is clear and clearer all the time that our hearts are in heaven, even as you call us to live on the earth. Lord, give us grace. We need grace. We need it for ourselves. We need it to raise our families. We need it, Lord, to encourage one another. And we pray for that. And grant that the day may come when that city descends. We don't know when it will be, Lord God. We don't know heaven's timetable. We cannot read with precision your clock, as it were, and know when Christ will return. But we may press on in faith, and we may be full of hope. And may, Lord, grant us to be marked by love. So bless us tonight. Bless the word we've considered. Remember us in these times and give us patience. Also, as we wait for further loosening of restrictions in our society and affecting so many aspects of our life, our children in their schooling, as a congregation, in our worshiping, and in many other ways as well. We thank you, Lord, for various signs that things are changing, and we pray that they may continue to change. We pray that you will bless every means also to that end. We thank you, Lord, when there are means and helps available also to bring relief and deliverance, but we must put our ultimate trust and confidence in you. We pray for wisdom as we walk through these days. Also, as churches, church communities, consistories, elders and deacons, pastors, we pray, Lord, that we would be filled with that wisdom that is from above, and that our words and our conduct would be such that we reflect the Spirit of Christ. We give no reason for the world to blaspheme or to reproach us for any other cause than for the fact that we are followers of Christ. We pray, Lord, that you will help us. We pray, too, for those who are sick still, and those who are in the hospital still, we commend them to you. Every day we hear of people who are dying still from COVID and COVID-related issues. We pray, Lord, for those who are weak and frail, for those whose earthly lives are drawing to an end. How many of them are not ready to meet you? Lord God, have mercy. Have mercy upon them. We pray for all doctors and nurses and medical staff, all people involved also in the administration of various matters in our communities, infrastructure, and other things. Lord, how much common grace we depend on also for our societies to remain intact and to function. We depend upon you. We pray that you will remember our government. It is easy, Lord, to be frustrated with our government. It is easy to criticize our government. But we pray for much patience and much prudence and also much graciousness. Lord, help us. And grant to our government that they may receive grace as well. Maybe they don't even ask for it. But Lord, will you grant it nevertheless? We pray our premier may know you in truth, may seek you with all his heart, may come out of this great test with an awareness of his dependence upon Jesus Christ. We pray that for our prime minister too. And for all those who govern us, we pray that you will bless them and that you will remember our land and our people. And Lord, even though we don't see it really, we ask that you would nevertheless revive still your work and make many men and women and children to humble themselves and to call upon the God of heaven to find mercy and grace, to help in time of need, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We pray, Lord, that you may remember us and bless us in these times. Sanctify to us every affliction and grant that it may lead also to our spiritual profit and blessing. We pray for one another, also in our congregation. We commend to you all the needs and cares as they continue day by day in family life, personally, with health and sickness. Lord, we pray especially for Bill Heikoop tonight. Remember him as he is so weak and so frail. Lord, you know his needs. Please minister to him. Please strengthen him. Please uphold him day by day and hour by hour. And let your will be done also in his life. And comfort him with your word and spirit. Remember his wife, Liz, and strengthen her. Remember their whole family and be very near to them. Tonight we pray too for Isaiah Zweep and for his whole family, Michael and Victoria and Ezra and Josiah and Keziah. We pray for them, Lord, as a family, as tomorrow is the scheduled day for Isaiah's surgery. And what a delicate surgery it will be. And what great need, Lord, he has, Isaiah. And we pray that you may remember him. We thank you for all the medical care available to him, all the expertise that has gone also into this moment for him. These are means, Lord, from you. And we acknowledge that. But we pray that you, the great physician, may lay your hand on this little boy, bring him safely through the surgery, and grant, Lord, that he may come out well. We pray that it may be successful in resolving the seizures, and that his quality of life may be much improved. We give strength also to his parents and his family as they give Isaiah up to the care of the surgeon tomorrow. Grant, Lord, that whatever anxieties they feel in their heart, they may be able to lay to rest before you and trust you with their son, with their brother, with their grandson. Lord, we pray that in all things you may be glorified also in this family's life. Hear our prayer, Lord, and bless us further in this evening also as we carry on with our ways. Forgive our sins, many and great as they are. Wash them all away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that it is through him alone and his great sacrifice that we are able to escape the city of destruction and be headed toward the celestial city. How free is your grace. How free is your mercy. How much, Lord, we owe to you. We praise you. And we ask you now to hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Have a good evening, everyone.